Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And as a Reiki energy healer and medium, like my guest, Sandra Champlain, author of We Don't Die, it will be our pleasure to have a talk together which will hopefully dispel your fears of death and dying and shed light on the creative beings of spirit and eternal life that we really are, and show you how you can use this miraculous knowledge to live an empowered, fearless, and focused, joyful life experience. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Cheryl. When you read the introduction, I was like a little kid. I just want to share like my toys with you.
As listeners of Healing From Within know, each author and guest on this show share their stories and spiritual gifts to help listeners begin to enhance their process of self-development and self-mastery of their emotions, thought processes, and really learn to use the universal laws of energy in order to improve their decision-making process so they can handle the challenges of a physical world of change with the greatest efficacy. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Sandra will share her fear of dying and the skepticism that led Sandra on a journey of discovery through the disciplines of science and medicine to uncover the clear, undeniable truth for her and for me that we don't die. Sandra travels the United States and Canada, and as chef for many world-class race teams, including Andretti, Rahal, and actor Patrick Dempsey, she owns Kent Coffee and Chocolate Company in Connecticut. So she's working on all different areas in business and in spiritual growth. You know, Sandra, I have a funny story. I began to focus and prepare for this show, an Energy Times magazine came into my office, and I had just finished reading the article on Patrick Dempsey, the actor, whose picture was his picture was right on the cover. And then I picked up your book and started to read, and you know, I found out that you had a connection there. Now, my first book, right. Life is No Coincidence: The Life and Afterlife Connection, was my personal awakening to the fact that psychics and mediums received information that was often correct, and there was no way they could be privy to the information except for the fact that there must be an afterlife, and and consciousness must survive physical death. But I was not brought up to believe that, and I was not interested. I had never had a psychic reading. I was very much grounded in the physical world of business, and this came as a complete shock, but I was very grateful for the shock because it opened up my channels and my passages to a greater awareness of life and energy and what we are capable of. So please tell us something about your childhood and any beginning awareness of spiritual energy or an interest in the afterlife, or maybe the way you developed a fear of death, as we all did as children, if our families were inclined that way, and of life, as it seemed to be then for you.
I remember the first thing that came to my mind when you asked me that question is being a little girl and watching the TV show Bewitched. Remember how she could wiggle her nose?
Yes.
Magic happens.
Yes.
And so at a very young age, I loved the fantasy of it all, playing make-believe. And so I think as a youngster, I had it. And then, to nobody's blame, I mean, it's so easy to grow up and blame your parents, but I think it's all the things that I experienced that magical world just disappeared. We grew up Catholic, and we had stories of faith and God and all good, right? My parents, though, never talked about spirituality. I'm 48 now, and when I was a youngster, we'd hear a story of a medium or a psychic, and my parents were just like, that's not real. You know, that's whatever they called them. So I grew up very opinionated. Whatever my parents told me.
I like
I
that.
Because
Sandra, I like that word, opinionated. I had parents like that, too. Yes.
Yeah, and they're great. I mean, my dad's deceased, but my mom's alive, and, you know, great people, but it's just, it's so easy to adopt what they think is the truth.
Well, that's
because
what
they
we
think
do.
It's
good. Yeah.
Yeah, if mom and dad say it's not true, it can't be. So you would never in a million years find me interested in listening to a show like yours or like mine or even reading one of our books. It just would never happen.
Let me ask you a question here. We seem to have a similar beginning, and I really got very involved in this work 20 years ago. How long ago did you really start to be once again interested to open up your imagination and your understanding that there was more to life than perhaps you were seeing with your five senses?
Yeah.
There was something
within. It was almost
within.
20 years ago.
Oh,
yeah,
about the same.
It was 96 that I became flooded with fear that I can't handle the thought of death. I just couldn't handle it. And it's like, I don't remember, Cheryl, anything happening that just prompted it. Of course, looking back, my mom told me, she's like, you know, you had pets that died when you were very young. Your dad was diagnosed with cancer. You almost lost him. You saw your grandfather die. You worked in a nursing home, and every time you went into work, somebody else would have died. She's like, you had a lot of death. And so somehow it just, you know, rose to the surface. And I just, you know, I'd go to sleep at night, like, is this my last night, and am I ready? Did I do everything? What's going to happen to me? And God forbid those moments when we look up at the stars and we think of the vastness of the universe. Those were the moments that I'd have, like, the biggest panic attacks.
Now, I agree that the loss of trust by a child is the beginning of the loss of their own soul and magnificent connection to spirit, and it's a great wound. When my son was about five, his grandfather told him there was no Santa Claus, and I was as hurt then as he was.
Sure.
Now, I have a granddaughter, and a few years ago, her father told her there was no Santa Claus because he wanted her to be grown up, not think these frivolous thoughts. And this is the dimming of the light of spirit that we come into this world with that glows within us because of our imagination and our soul brightness, the magnificence of our soul. And I, as a child, believed that the mind could think or embrace anything and make it real. That's why I didn't think of death as being anything too much, because we could transcend and transform like Star Trek. Go from another universe or planet. Somewhere I knew these things. I knew these things. I mean, to me, at 17, the dream, the impossible dream, was a song from Man of La Mancha.
Yes.
And I would dance to it and jump in the air and sing that song over and over. It was my wedding song at my wedding. It's not really a wedding song, but you know what? It was Yeah, it was my soul talking about the power and beauty of our life and the joy of our life. So it hurts me, it hurt you, it hurt my granddaughter, it hurt my son. And this is...
It did.
And just today, thinking about that, I think maybe it's supposed to happen that way. Maybe we need to lose something in order to gain something much greater. As we know, there's no loss, there's only transformation of our energy from this life to another. So maybe our ideas and concepts can transform those soul hurts and grow stronger as we go along and more powerful, so we will not have to ever feel that way again. It's a possibility.
And you know what we're doing, Cheryl?
Yeah.
Is we're now sharing that Santa Claus is real. That bewitched Israel.
Absolutely.
It is real. There's so much more reality to the magic. And I think it came, you know, we had to believe, and then
we had to lose
it. Taken away, and then we found it for ourselves. And it's very, very real. You know, it's so funny because often I have to break up a few illusions for people before they're even willing to listen to me, because I think the human mind is skeptical first, and then it's like, you know, you have to convince me kind of thing. And I talk to people about even where heaven could be, and I say, you know, can you see the internet that's around you? Can you see the radio waves that's connecting
mm-hmm.
us? I mean, there's
Absolutely.
An invisible world of energy that is so real, and we can't see it. So we don't have to see something to believe it, and it can be very, very real.
Well, that's the key. This world of the internet is showing people how we can connect from country to country, community to community. Most people cannot fathom the amount of information that the internet is holding. Just as we cannot fathom the universal source of life, the eternal source we all come from and go back to when we
right.
leave this physical body. So it's helping us on another level to go beyond the limitations of our fears, of our ego, of our mind, to delve deeper into our heart energy, which is our soul or eternal life force. So
mm-hmm.
what evidence, you've researched a great deal, your book shows a great deal of factual input about what I do as a medium when I share messages with people that I could not have the information. And then they sort of start to think, you know, how does she do this? Well, again, it's reaching up into that sphere of information, because every thought, every word, every action is energy, and it is not cannot be destroyed. So it is retrieved in this universal energy source of continuous life and can be retrieved by sensitive people who work long and hard, by the way, to develop these gifts. It just doesn't happen overnight where you just sit down and you're understanding all the input. It takes years of training and an interest wanting to do it, as you did and as I did. What evidence did you find that we don't die?
The first thing that happened to me that was the biggest aha moment is Skeptic Sandra went on a trip to Laguna Beach, California to study with medium and angel lady Doreen Virtue. She offered a course called Medium Mentorship, and she says, if you come to this course, you'll be someone who can effectively tell the deceased people around others. So to the skeptic mind, it's like there's no friggin' way that that's possible. But the Sandra that was afraid of dying really had the, but what if it's true? And so very secretly, I took a weekend trip to California, lied to everybody in my life that I was going to some other kind of seminar, and showed up at this small, intimate group of people to learn about being a medium. And so the first exercise she gave us, and she actually told us about how medium readings are done, some of the things that need to be in place, praying before, and you know, the belief in it. And she says, we're just going to play here. She says, I want you to just pretend you're a medium, and I'm going to go through it with everybody, just, you know, what we do and how we do it. And so because she gave all of us the permission to just invent and create in our mind and just play, it was like, okay, I can do that. There was no pressure that I had to perform as a medium. And like you say, I think, you know, there's no such thing as synchronicity. When it's the time is right, things happen. There's, and I was
absolutely
interested.
You get brought to the right teachers. I've had many teachers too. Robert
yeah,
Brown,
and it,
international medium Robert Brown and John
wow.
Edwards from England, and many people have come in because I found as I would put out a thought, well, how does this work? You know, I know
mm-hmm.
it's accurate and it's working. Another teacher would come in and I'd take another course and I'd be in another place and they'd ask me to do something I hadn't done before. And like always,
right.
I would say, oh, I don't think I can do this. And then they would say, you can do this. And you, I was told to write my first book that way by a psychologist from Puerto Rico who came in and he did readings, but he didn't say he was a medium. He was just going from astrology. And he said to me, young lady, you will get your computer and you will voice tape this book. And I said, I don't know about that. I'm not working on the computer. And I'm not that familiar with it. And a voice tape, how to get this. Do you know, within 1 week, I had a computer man set up a system, voice taping, and he was right. So you see, we need to listen. These things
it's
are
so
not
funny.
Random.
I don't know about that.
No, I said, I don't think so. I would always say, I don't think so. And then, lo and behold, within 3 to 6 months, I was functioning the way they had said that it would happen.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So for me, to tell you what happened. So I'm Skeptical Sandra sitting in a chair in the small banquet room, conference room, and Doreen says, everybody take a partner, and I, you know, pick this lady, and she says, okay, somebody go first, and I said, oh, I'll go first, because I'm very creative, I think, you know, job as a chef and everything, and so she says, I really, you know, we said a loving prayer first, and she says, I want you to imagine your hearts are connecting with this invisible energy, and it's a safe space, and, you know, feel a lot of love, and she says, and they just talk to deceased people like you talk to anybody.
Like we're talking now, actually.
Right. You have to be polite. You have to ask permission to talk, and would you like to talk to me, and all those kind of things. So it was very funny, and I thought, well, I can do this. So she says, all I want you to do is I want you to pretend there's somebody standing behind your partner. And she says, just invent a person, male or female. Tell a story, you know, maybe if you hear their name in your mind or what they did for a living, very often what they died of, and often a message that you're to give the person that you're with. And so she says, you know, we'll just take 5 minutes to do this and then switch, and then, you know, we'll go on from there. So this is just playtime, a time to invent. So with my eyes closed, I held this woman's hand, and I asked if there's anybody around, this woman, you know, please come through. And, you know, I made up, Cheryl, that there was a man standing behind her, that his name was Jan. He was from Denmark. I saw a fishing boat in my mind, so I thought, oh, he's a fisherman. He's puffing away at the cigarettes. Okay, he died of lung cancer. I'm just making this up. He had a big gap between.
Well, you thought you were making it up.
Of course.
But you weren't making it up. You were downloading.
However,
the information.
In the moment when I was given the permission to just play and make it up, I was just free to play. So, you know, he had a big gap between his teeth and windburns. And he never told his daughter, which would be her mother, that he loved her. And, you know, I'm just yep. You know, I opened my eyes like, okay, it's your turn to go next. And the woman's just got streams of tears coming down her face. And her grandfather's name was Jan. He was a fisherman in Denmark. He died of lung cancer because of smoking. He fit the description.
You got it all right, because that's what a good medium does. I mean, of course,
well,
there's people with more training, and
yeah.
It's like playing the piano. There are some who will be expert at it and some who will just tinker along if their heart and their passion and their efforts are not consistent. But we all have this ability. Every last person on the planet has this sixth sense. They just don't maybe choose. Now, I was brought into the energy work a different way. I was told to study Reiki energy healing, which opened up my chakras and channels. And then after working, doing the energy work, I started to pick up messages. And then I went to a new Reiki teacher for another advanced class. And she had me join a group, an unfoldment group, where we sat in meditation, and people were downloading messages. And I said, what am I doing here? I'm just a Reiki practitioner doing the energy work. I wasn't putting the pieces together of this energy, where it was coming from exactly,
right.
Putting all the pieces together yet. And then after a while, I started to get messages. And then I understood how they worked. And in my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I try to share stories and readings proving that consciousness survives physical death and that love is the bond and bridge between these worlds of the seen and unseen.
Yeah.
And you know, one day I was asked by a student of mine, I got a call on a Friday, in the evening, late in the day, actually. And she said to me, my daughter just lost her boyfriend, 19 years old, in a motorcycle accident. And could you do a reading? Because she and his family are so devastated, they can't breathe. And
oh, I know that devastation is brutal. And anyone listening knows there's no greater pain, I don't think, than losing a loved one.
So a child, a person, you know,
yes.
A child. So I had never done a reading so close to the time of a passing, but I figured if Spirit brought that woman to me to do this for her daughter, there must be a reason. And of course I would try. I didn't promise her anything, but you know, it was one of the most powerful and beautiful readings, and it is in my book. And I actually saw how Michael, the young man, catapulted over the handlebars, and he lifted up from his body quickly without any pain, and he was guided by these beautiful light beings. And he looked back because he knew they would mourn and miss him, but he also knew it was his time, and he saw the life that was entering, that he was entering, and he had to move forward joyfully. And I then shared details of the funeral, where he was to be buried, and the place upstate that he loved, and his hopes to be a police officer. And the next day I gave the reading to this young girl, and she said to me that the messages sounded just the way he spoke. And she was so comforted by his love and the vision of what she saw. So the point being, how could we do this if we weren't seeing and feeling and sensing and being given help to share this with other people so that they would know the truth of who they are as spiritual beings having a physical life and go
right? And why would we want to?
What? That's right. Why would we want to? And why would it happen to us? Why?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't believe in this.
Neither did I.
I was perfectly happy having my catering business and everything, and all of a sudden it's like, what? So I'm the one talking about this now? So
what do you now think it is, and what might it be like?
Well, it's really interesting because, like you, I just started my own radio show. WeDon'tDieRadio.com is where people can listen to past episodes. Mm-hmm. And I interview people that have either had a near-death experience or they were with a loved one when they passed away, because very often, very, very often, people open their eyes in those last few moments and lift their head and they're talking to people that are deceased. Or I talk to people who are mediums, such as yourself, who's going to be one of my future guests. And, you know, I'm looking into this world, and that's one of the questions that I ask as well about heaven. And, you know, and why are we here? You know, and so in my heart of hearts, Cheryl, for me, for my life, what empowers me, what I've heard probably not 1,000 times, but a lot of times, is when we close our eyes on earth that last time, many things beautiful happens, but the biggest thing that I'm the most excited about is the little voice that's inside of our head that, for me, when I look in the mirror, I'm too fat or too ugly, I don't make a difference, I'm unlovable. You know, we all have this voice inside of our head that is not so empowering.
And now you know none of that is important. And I want to read something that you wrote. Have you ever awoken from a dream that seems so real? And like the nursery rhyme, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream, thought.
Mm-hmm.
But what if when your body dies, the new place you find yourself is so incredibly real that it makes your life on earth seem like a dream? And when you look back on your life, your boat, you got to see how well you rowed down the stream. Did you row merrily and gently, or did you row against the current and try to fight your way upstream? So that's what you were just saying, getting to the important aspect of you. What if you never die? If you just continue to grow and learn and live? And that's the truth. I want to thank you, Sandra Champlain, author of We Don't Die, for joining us on Healing from Within and sharing your thorough and intense search through investigation of your own experiences, that of psychics and mediums, religious beliefs and science, and discovering our true dualistic nature as energetic spiritual beings who are having a physical life, sharing, as many have on my show, the belief that consciousness does survive physical death. For more information on this topic, go to WeDon'tDie.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Sandra and I have merged our awareness of the true nature of life, sharing our belief that we are so much more than we appear, and we are not just our bodies or dense physical life form, but are the product of the unfolding of life from the beginning of time, and as such are the force for the creation and evolution of humanity and the universe. Scientists and physicists now tell us that only energy exists in the universe and agree that everything we can see, touch, feel, hear, and taste is made of energy. Yet as hard as it is to understand that things we see are really nothing more than vibrating strings of light, you know there are things that exist in reality that we do not see, things like radio waves or television signals, wireless computer connections, the internet, or cell phone frequencies, and they're all invisible. As Sandra writes, we live in an extraordinary world of things that really do not exist, even when we cannot see them. Things like radio and television waves, microwaves, infrared, visible light, ultraviolet light, X-rays, and gamma rays are real. Just as real is the love and communication that we receive from our deceased friends and family members. I believe it is now the time to trust that there really is much more to life than meets the eye. Sandra and I, as former skeptics during the earlier part of our lives, living according to the standards and mores of our societal and familial training, fearing death and unable to embrace life to its fullest because of fear, are now grateful and joyful that we have had the opportunity to develop our mediumship gifts and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that as Norman Vincent Peale, writer and clergyman, wrote, physical death is a transitional step in the total life process. The soul which does not die, having finished with the earthly body, moves to a higher level of life where it grows under greatly enhanced circumstances. We urge you to remember your true essence as eternal energy beings. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear more about the ways you might improve your energy, your health, and create the life of joy you were born to discover as both a spiritual and physical being. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.